You're listening to Dakota Country, KOKK in Huron.
With the Saturday Morning Scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports, KOKK. Class A State Cheer and Dance in Watertown results from last night. The cheer champion once again, Sioux Valley, with 283 points. Wolsey Wessington was runner-up at 259. Del Rapids St. Mary third, 257. Winner fourth at 246. Del Rapids fifth at 238. Iroquois Lake Preston placed 11th at 198. For large group cheer, the champion Sioux Valley, Del Rapids St. Mary, runner-up. Wolsey Wessington is the champion for small group cheer. Parkston was runner-up. In dance, Dakota Valley is the champion at 590 going away. Winner second at 460 and a half. Third, Platte Geddes, Andy Central, Dakota Christian at 442. Dakota Valley won the dance and palm divisions. Platte Geddes, Andy Central, Dakota Christian won hip-hop. High school volleyball around the area last night. Hitchcock Tulare moved to 25-4 on the season. They swept Sully Buttes 25-17, 16-17. Miller now has a record of 20-7. They defeated Ethan. Straight sets 25-20, 22-21. Highmore Heralds now 15-11. They defeated Stanley County 25-21, 18-20. Leola Frederick defeated Sunshine Bible straight sets 25-15, 10-7. Wessington Springs defeated Kimball White Lake in four, 25-22, 15-25, 25-23, 25-19. In Bridgewater, Emory swept Sanborn Central Woonsocket 27-25, 25-15, and 25-19. For AA volleyball, most teams were playing in the East-West Challenge in Brandon and Harrisburg that played last night. Watertown went 3-0 yesterday in Brandon, defeating Sturgis, Douglas, and Rapid City Central 2-0. Brookings picked up a pair of wins, defeating Rapid City Central and Sturgis 2-0. Brandon Valley goes 3-0 as they defeated Douglas, Rapid City Central, and Sturgis 2-0. In Harrisburg, Spearfish defeated Yankton 2-0. Harrisburg picked up a couple of sweeps over Rapid City Stevens and Spearfish. Rapid City Stevens defeated Yankton 2-0. Also in the ESD last night, Mitchell defeated T. Area in straight sets 25-19, 17-10. Schedule for today, there's a couple of state events going on, including one in Huron. State cross country is today at Broadland Creek starting at 12 noon. All three classes, all six divisions are running at Broadland Creek starting at 12 noon. Boys are first, Class A, then AA, then Class B. Then at about 1:30, the girls' runs will begin, Class A, Class AA, and Class B. A lot of visitors in town for state cross country today. Meanwhile, AA state competitive cheer and dance will be held today in Watertown. Class A, of course, was last night. In AA, 18 schools are in dance, 19 are in competitive cheer. Huron Tigers will be competing today. The quarterfinal round for the state high school football playoffs is set for next Thursday across the state. Huron Tigers have the number 2 seed in 11AA. And they're going to get a rematch of Thursday night's game with Brookings. Brookings at 5-4 at Huron, 7-2. Brookings number 7 seed, Huron number 2 seed. No passes accepted for the game, but the first 100 Huron students, grade 6 through 12, will get in free thanks to a donor. Other 11AA matchups, number 8 Spearfish and number 1 Yankton at 6 o'clock. Number 5, Watertown at number 4, Sturgis, 7 o'clock Central. Number 6, seed T Area at number 3, Pier, that's at 6 o'clock. 11, AAA, 8 seed Roosevelt at 1 seed Brandon Valley at 6 o'clock. 5 seed Harrisburg at number 4, O'Gorman at 6 o'clock. 7 seed Rapid City Central's at 2 seed Lincoln at 4 o'clock. Number 6 seed Washington's at number 3 seed Jefferson at 6:30. 11A, 8 seeds Rapid City Christian and top seed Sioux Falls Christian, 7 o'clock. 5 seed West Central at number 4 Madison, 7 o'clock. 7 seed Milbank at number 2 seed Del Rapids, 7 o'clock. 6 seed Tri-Valley at number 3 Lennox at 6 o'clock. Class 11B, 8 seed Sioux Valley at number 1 seed Elk Point Jefferson, 7 o'clock. 5 seed Wagner at number 4 seed Duel, 7 o'clock. 11 seed Winners at number 3 seed Clark Willow Lake, 7 o'clock. And 7 seed Mount Vernon Plankinton is at number 2 seed St. Thomas More, 6 o'clock Central. For 9-man AA, number 9 Kimball White Lakes at top seed Freeman Marion, Freeman Academy at 7 o'clock. 5 seed Hamlins at number 4 seed Hill City, 7 o'clock Central. 6 seed Bottoms at number 3 seed Parkston, 7 o'clock. 10 seed Hansons at number 2 seed Elkton Lake Benton at 6 o'clock. Class 9A, 8 seed Castlewoods at number 1 seed Wall, 7 o'clock Central. 5 seed Ipswich at number 4 Phillips, 7 o'clock Central. 6 seed Platte Geddes at number 3 seed Alsetzer Hudson, 7 o'clock. And number 7 seed Howards at number 2 seed Warner at 7 o'clock. And finally in 9B, number 9 seed Corsica Stickney at top seed Del Rapids St. Mary, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. 5 seed Sully Buttes at number 4 seed Fulton at 7 o'clock. 6 seed Harriet Selby at number 3 Coleman Egan, 6 o'clock. And number 7 seed Sioux Falls Lutheran at number 2 seed Avon at 7 o'clock. Those are the quarterfinal matchups for the South Dakota High School football playoffs to be held this next Thursday. A couple other notes to pass along. Tiger Roar Booster Club postseason potluck coming up for cross country on Tuesday. That will start at 5:30 and will be at the high school commons. Huron Hockey Association is hosting a Try Hockey for Free event tomorrow at Bergman. From 2 till 4, it's open for girls and boys ages 5 and up. Any skill level is welcome. No experience or registration is needed. Coaches and volunteers will be on site to help the kids try it out. No pressure, just have some fun. That's tomorrow, 2 till 4 at Bergman. Coming up this morning on Dakota Sports Saturday, a full show today. We'll get our monthly update from Joey Mitchell at the Nordby Center for Recreation. We'll talk state championship soccer with the head boys soccer coach of James Valley Christian, Jory Whiff. They won a state title last week. We'll talk state cross country with James Valley Christian coach Tom Brantner and Huron Tiger coach Angie Thomas. And we'll also get some thoughts from Drew Strand, head football coach for the Huron Tigers, off the loss Thursday and getting set for the playoffs. That's our Dakota Sports Saturday show coming up at about 9 minutes after 8 o'clock this morning. With the Saturday morning scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
First up today on Dakota Sports Saturday, we talk with Joey Mitchell, Executive Director of the Nordby Center for Recreation, our monthly update as we get set for activities in November. And I guess a general theme, and this kind of goes back to October as well, youth basketball. You have a lot of different opportunities and things for kids to take in.
Yes, exactly. And like you mentioned, we kind of play with the seasons or the schools, how the school transitions, I guess, or the carryover from there. So, yes, a lot of youth basketball going on. We have basketball options on Sunday. And youth on that one is 6th grade, actually, through 12th grade. So even a high schooler that's just, I mean, maybe done with season coming up here. That's something we have coming up on Sundays as an option. It's local, and it's in the afternoon. And then also for youth-wise, we have our basketball camp on Thursday afternoons after school. We start with the older 4th through 6th grade at 3:45, and then the younger kids come in here about 5:15 or 5 o'clock, and that's kindergarten through 3rd grade. And if there's still wanting to sign up for that, there's still some room, but there is a lot of kids in it right now or currently signed up. But that shows that there's a good, a good atmosphere or a good little backing on the town, and people are excited about basketball this year.
And turning colder, but hey, no problem. Your indoor swimming lessons, a new round starting up.
Yes, our swimming lessons will be finishing up, coming up at the beginning of the month, and then we'll have a new lesson starting on November 8th. Registrations actually will start this next week at the very last part of October. And then, yeah, we offer lessons, youth levels 1 through 6. And then we do have a preschool level option. And just with paperwork purposes, we do have to have some paperwork done on site. So registrations are done on site.
And overall, just getting into November, the holiday season as well, I guess I'll save that for the end here. But other than that, your usual programs are going on right now for adults and, of course, for kids as well, if they're looking for other options.
Yes, we have all our classes still going on. We have classes in the water. We have classes in the land. There's karate classes for adults. Our youth karate class did fill up, but there's tons of other things going on. Pickleball is obviously a big hit right now, and that's for all ages. And just as you mentioned, the weather changing, more and more people are coming in here playing pickleball. So it's getting played all throughout the day, early in the morning, you know, over lunch hour, in the evenings. So again, the gym's very busy with those things.
And we'll just wrap it up with this, dare I say, but we can start thinking about the holiday season as well. And always, you have options for people who want to give the gift of health.
Yes, absolutely. We offer gift certificates and memberships, and that's, what better gift to give than that. So you're exactly right, Jeff.
Joey Mitchell, Executive Director for the Nordby Center for Recreation. Events coming here now as we approach the month of November. We have a full Dakota Sports Saturday coming up, state championship soccer, cross country, and football all coming up on Dakota Sports KOKK.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
We're back on Dakota Sports Saturday. We talk with Jory Whiff, head boys soccer coach for James Valley Christian. The Vikings win the Class A championship last weekend, a 2-0 shutout out in Rapid City of Freeman Academy. That's after a runner-up finish just a year ago. And Jory, you knew the pieces were there. You had everybody back from last year's state runner-up, but yet kids still have to go out and do it on the field. Well, this team actually did that and more, just one loss on the season and a state title.
Yeah, whereas last year was a process that culminated in playing really well at the end of the year. It then led to some expectations for this season that we could find our way back to that final game. And that was certainly one of the team goals that was set this fall. Not every game was inspiring all year long, maybe, but they certainly played consistently pretty well. They turned the bump on the road at Freeman Academy, the lone loss, into what seemed to be a renewed focus. So I think maybe they did the harder thing this year in managing the expectations, maybe the target on the back, and being able to play well through all of that, and just trying to continue to get better and maybe not letting the weight that could have been those expectations become too much.
Well, you look at that championship match. You win 2-0 over Freeman Academy. Both goals coming there kind of late in the first half and really not that far apart as well. And, well, the defense just made it hold from there, shutting them out the whole game, including that second half as well, because obviously Freeman Academy kept you guys under wraps as well there in the second half.
Yeah, a little bit of a slow start for us, it felt like. Then the game kind of evened out, and then I thought maybe the last 20 minutes or so of the first half, we had them under a lot of pressure and on their heels and had a lot of good opportunities with some corner kicks and free kicks. And Noah found a ball that had rebounded a couple times from a couple of other opportunities at his feet, and a quick release sent that into the back of the net. And then a few minutes later, Gavin played Carson in the middle, and he was able to beat one guy and get that second goal. And that's a big deal. It's always good to play from the front, but especially up 2-0. Just a little bit of comfort there when you're playing. You don't want to make the mistake, but you could make one mistake and still be okay. The wind, though, I think maybe was more of a factor than we realized at halftime, perhaps. Because in the second half, they kind of had us playing defensively a lot. I don't have stats for time of possession or anything like that, but felt like we were a lot, but we were super stubborn defensively, and just proud of them for how they played defensively.
And that's the one thing, too, kind of poetic justice there, perhaps, that, you know, last year you said your focus for a lot of the season was on the offense, getting things set. But then this year your primary focus, at least to begin the year, was defense. Well, defense ended up winning a championship there in the second half.
Yeah, actually, I would say last year my focus was defense because I knew we had to get better at it, and we just played offensively really well, and the defense, came around towards the end. And this year they sort of picked up where they left off. Another goal was to allow 15 or fewer goals in the season, and that seemed pretty ambitious. And with a few games to go, it seemed unlikely that we might do that, having allowed 12 at that point. But six straight shutouts to end the season was pretty impressive. 12 goals allowed is actually the fourth fewest in team history. It's 37 fewer than last season. 8 shutouts is tied for the third most in school history. Those are just some trivia things, I guess. But very impressive how they ended the season defensively. I thought in that final, we were in the right spots all day long. There were a couple of miscommunications. There were a couple of balls misplayed. But always people in the right spots to help, to make life hard for Freeman's strikers, at least making them do the harder thing, being on maybe on their left foot instead of on their right, just being a little more uncomfortable. I thought we did a really good job of those things.
And, when it all wraps up, as you said, 6 shutouts to end the season, a lot of that goes to Jonah Niederbommer, your goalie, but yet a solid defense in front sets up your goalie. I mean, every piece is working together to make that happen.
Yeah, and that's, like I said, even when a mistake maybe was made, the people in the help spots were in the right places. And you saw his save at the end of the game when it ended up in a one-on-one situation. Just a big save to preserve that shutout. The stats say he only had 4 saves, but all 4 of those balls were headed into the back of the net. And so they were all important, and certainly the guys in front of him played well. Isaac Wythe and Colby got a lot of high praise from opposing coaches as the middle of our defense, just making life hard on people. Their activity and athleticism, willingness to win out of the air was super important for us. And Monty and Luke's speed on the edges, there weren't many people faster than we were going to be back there. And that's a great place to start. So if you're in the right spot and you have some of that ability, you're set up pretty well.
And really, you and I were talking before we started here, just because I kind of wanted to know the last 15 years or so. James Valley Christian's had a nice little run getting some state titles. You had a club soccer title, I believe you said, in 2010, 2002. Before that, there was a state boys basketball championship, a cross-country championship, a boys golf
championship in 2019. That could have been a back-to-back if there had been a season in 2020. Now 2025 soccer for a small school is kind of nice. You know what? We can different sports, but yet we're finding kids that can really excel.
Yeah, we've been super blessed in recent history. In the small school, of course, you need the athletes to do lots of things, and for the most part they do, and they're finding success in multiple activities. And it's a fun discussion to have to talk about where to hang another banner. So,
you know, talking to Jory Webb, head boys soccer coach for James Valley Christian, as they take the Class A championship last week with a win over Freeman Academy. You did have three players named to the All-State team. I know when you're coming off a team championship, you know, you just feel like, well, every guy should be on there. But Noah Fast, Gavin Waldner were first team. Then Isaac Whiff was honorable mention. Well, it's a great honors for those guys. They also know they didn't do it by themselves.
Yeah, Isaac Whiff came to us as a freshman and played outside that year and then moved into that sweeper role. And it's just so helpful to have a big, fast, athletic kid playing back there. Colby's, I think, probably a six-year letter winner, I believe. Just super active, lots of energy, lots of activity, communicates. I think he's probably underrated in terms of his impact in the middle of the field. And Noah's grown a lot. He's also started since he was in seventh grade, but just was able this year to handle the physicality of the game a lot better as he grew and got stronger, and you could see that in his play. And he's kind of the glue in the middle when it comes to our possession and generating our offense. And so, yeah, well deserved for those guys. Isaac Whiff was first team last year, actually, too, and Gavin, of course, I think this is his third year on the All-State team. He got a lot of attention this year. Maybe wasn't quite as healthy as we would have liked, but still a super dynamic player, and the other coaches recognize that. Very unselfish. He's in the top four or five in our school history in assists. I don't know if people realize how unselfish he is because they see the goal scored and the athletic ability, but just really appreciate of course, the impact that those guys had.
And wrap it up with this. You came into the season with expectation after last year's run and finishing second and with basically bringing everybody back. Expectations are one thing. Meeting those expectations are another, and he's going to be tickled the way these kids came out and just took care of business.
Yeah. Been around long enough to know that none of this is guaranteed, no matter the talent level you might think you have. And so, like I said earlier, for them to have managed those expectations and to have performed as consistently as they did all year long, I think is super impressive. And, sure proud of them for that.
Jory Whiff, head coach, James Valley Christian Boys Soccer, the Class A state champions, taking the title last week out in Rapid City with a 2-0 shutout win on Freeman Academy. Huron is host to the state cross-country meet today. We'll talk James Valley Christian and Huron Tiger cross-country next on Dakota Sports.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, and overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
Your headquarters for sports is Dakota Sports on KOKK.
We return to Dakota Sports Saturday. Huron is hosting state cross-country today. with all three classes, all six divisions out of Broadland Creek today. James Valley Christian head coach Tom Brattner joins us here, head coach of both the girls and boys for the Vikings as they're poised to run in Class B today. And Tom, just a quick overview, though, first of your season. You had a lot of kids back, it looks like, a lot of names that I remember from before. And kids have put together a very good season this year.
Yeah, on our girls' side, we dealt with a lot of injuries early on. And so Hadassah Olson, who's been in the top 10 the last 2 years at state, struggled the first 2 weeks of the season, didn't do much running. And so I felt like the girls really had a hard time getting some traction, and we're in a tough region in Region 1, and so we were grateful to get two runners out of that region into the state meet. But this will be the first time in a few years we don't have a team competing on the girls' side, but we're excited that both of them are there, and I know they're going to do a great job this afternoon. And so on our boys' side, we had three returners. Caden Ober and Levi Crandall and Gideon Waldner were part of the top four finished last year in Rapid City. And then we borrowed a couple of soccer players who joined our team this year, Colby Vanderwerf, who's ended up being our second runner throughout the year, and then Keegan Lowen, who has gone back and forth between third place and fifth place on the team. And so it's really just rounded out that roster from last year and I think gives us a good shot to do well today.
And you mentioned the girls' region there, just a stacked one. When I talked to Jory Whiff last week and we were talking about cross country, and that was before the region was held, he just said, I'm just hoping we get a couple of girls in because it is so hard to qualify out of Region 1. So he had to be tickled, especially with those two girls and particularly with your senior daughter running what they doing what they needed to get to state.
Yeah, that region has been tough for the last couple of years. We won the region last year, but the second, third, fourth place teams out in Rapid City leapfrogged us, and they were on the podium at state, and we weren't. We were ended up in seventh place. And so, like, it just shows you how packed that region is up there. And then a few years ago during realignment, they brought Ipswich over to us, and they ended up this year with girls third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh at the region meet. All of them have run under 20 minutes this season, and so It's good that Hadassah's there. I still think she can peak. Like I said, she's been top 10 the last 2 years, and right now I think she's about 25th or 26th in the standings going in, but we think she can do well, get into the top 25 at least. And for Micaiah, we're super excited for her. Seniors love their last race to be at state and not at region, and so, you know, in our region, she was seeded 20th, moved up to 19th, and she's seeded 41st. Today, and we're really hoping that she gets into the top 40 at least, somewhere in the 30s. She's shooting for the top 25, and we'll see what happens. But I think her best state finish has been 65th, so she really wants to go out on a high note and give her best race today. So,
and on the boys' side, you do have the team qualified. They've been winning a lot of meets, and boy, you just feel, you know, when you get everybody together, you see some teams you haven't seen much of, but, you know, your boys have a shot to do well here.
Yeah, and Mitchell Christian and Phillip have had such a great rivalry over the last several years, and they really look like they'll be 1-2 in the team standings this year. Obviously, you know, they have to perform well today, and we've run against both of them this season, and they've been ahead of us pretty significantly. They're packed a little tighter in their top three and four runners than we are. But once we hit third place, you've got teams like North Central, Dupree, White River, and Freeman that we've run against all season, and we've been ahead of them. And so I think if our boys run what they're capable of, that we can land in that number three spot at least. And so that's kind of what we're shooting for and hoping for today.
Just kind of run down that boys' lineup. I know Caden Ober kind of leads you there. He's been your top finisher most meets.
Yeah, and Caden, he's just been so consistent this year. Just about every race, he's been first or second. The Huron meet was his first time in the top 20 over there. He was excited about that double-A competition, and so we've been proud of the way he's performed all season, and really just expect him to carry that consistency in. Expect him to be somewhere in the top 10. The closer we get him to number 5, we think will help the team's standings. And then Colby Vanderwerf, is a senior who I convinced to try running with us this year. He's a great distance runner on our track team, and the way soccer conditions, we really just felt like he'd be able to jump in and be a part of that, and he's consistently been our second runner. We expect him to be in the top 25 today, really the top 20, trying to push him down as close to 15th as we can. Levi Crandall was such a big part of our season last year. He was an eighth grader last year and really helped pull some of our other runners along during the second mile. And so he ended up always being the fourth runner on the team, but I always told him that second mile is so significant, and just pulling his teammates along has been helpful. But he's been consistently our third runner this season, and expect him somewhere in the top 40. I know he would love to shoot for the top 25 as well, and I think he's capable of it. It just depends on where everything falls. And then Gideon Waldner, really over the last couple of meets, has really come on strong for us. Keegan Lowen, our other soccer player, ran well at the beginning of the season. Now Gideon's kind of leapfrogged him and has been consistently running some good times this last few meets. And so we expect that with as tight as the standings are from third to sixth, that fourth runner could be really important as far as a tiebreak. And having Gideon and Keegan so close together, I think really gives us a bit of an edge there too.
And you mentioned the two soccer kids and Colby Vanderwerth, Keegan Lowen. And it sounds like basically they didn't run every meet and really didn't practice at all. But if they're practicing and playing soccer, they're certainly getting their workouts in anyway. And you just thought, you know what, it's an advantage, small school. Sometimes you have to share athletes, but it looks like it's worked out very well.
Yeah, we did some dual sports back when I first started coaching back in like 2013, 2014. But we really felt like we were burning kids out, and so we stopped. I don't even remember when we stopped, but so many of the Class B schools will use volleyball players on the girls' side and football players and soccer players on the boys' side, and we just felt like maybe there was a better way to approach it. So on the soccer side, they run some on their own, but they don't ever practice with us. They are now this week that the soccer season's over. But they get enough conditioning, and with a few extra runs on the side, they've run in five meets with us, but they've really performed well. And so we're excited. I don't know that we've ever had a state champion soccer team and then a chance to compete this next Saturday in the cross-country race and have a chance to do a team place there. And so they're excited. It's in the back of their mind, but trying to just focus on today's race and not – the overall picture of it, and so just trying to keep their heads in the game today.
And also kind of nice that you're not going anywhere. Last year, the long trek out to Rapid City, now right here in Huron at Broadland Creek. I know you said you ran the Clyde Cotton there back in September, but you've been working out there. I think you said once a week you're able to practice, but now here the last week, at least now with golf winding down, been able to get some consistent workouts every day out there.
Yeah, it's nice. Broadland Creek really works with us. As long as we stay out of the way of the golfers, they let us on the course throughout the season, and so we do our best to try to maintain a good relationship there. And so the kids are always super familiar with the course. They know where the half-mile mark is and the mile, the two-mile. They know where a half-mile to the finish and a quarter-mile to the finish is. And so I think mentally it does give them a bit of an edge to just be so familiar with that course. And so obviously you still have to perform better than everyone else, and I think a lot of these runners, especially in the guys top 25, are familiar with the Huron course. A lot of them come to the Clyde Cotton as well, and they've run at state here numerous times, and so no one's going to really be surprised by the course today. But I do like the fact that we have a bit of an edge as far as familiarity there.
And wrap it up here again, talking with Tom Bratner, head cross-country coach for James Valley Christian, and we'll be running in the B races today out at Broadland Creek. You know, for the girls, nice to have the two girls in there. If you come out of your region, you know you have accomplished something, just how tough that's been over the years for the boys. You know what? There's some chance for some hardware out there. They just have to go get it.
Yeah, it's really their race to lose if they just run like they're able to run. The boys should be, like I said, in that third, at least third, fourth, and fifth area. And so with the consistency they've had, I expect that from them. And the girls, we've really tried to just remind them that coming out of that region, I think being in a hard region, sometimes we complain about it, but we try to focus on the fact that being in that tight competition just makes them stronger mentally and makes them a little bit tougher. And so trying to get them maybe one of their best performances of their state career and just try to end the season on a high note for the two of them, especially for Micaiah. And so weather looks beautiful for today, and so it's going to be a spectator-friendly day, I think. And so we're hoping lots of people make it out to Broadland Creek to support the teams.
Tom Brattner, head coach, James Valley Christian Cross Country, again, state cross country out of Broadland Creek, starting at noon today. More on the cross country scene, we talk with Angie Thomas, head coach of the Huron Tiger cross country squad, next on Dakota Sports.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
Dakota Sports is committed to excellence in sports broadcasting.
Back on Dakota Sports Saturday, big day here in Huron today as the Huron Tigers are host to state cross country as all three classes, all six divisions will be running out at Broadland Creek today. That includes, of course, both Huron Tiger teams. Tigers have not run since ESD 2 weeks ago in Mitchell, and that's because the annual Roger Lecker had to be canceled last week due to conditions out at the airport. And I guess we'll just go to that first, Angie. It was probably an easy decision to make, because it would have been raining during the time the kids would have been running a week ago Thursday, and you just wanted, in the fact we're hosting state, you wanted everything in tip-top shape for today, so that means we probably shouldn't have 100 people running on it a week and a half before.
No, it wouldn't have been good for the course at all. I mean, I think Scott made the right decision. He had canceled the middle school races earlier on in the day because we were supposed to be getting a system come through at around 4 o'clock. And if it was lightning, we would have had a mandatory 30-minute lightning delay after the lightning ended. And so there would have been no way we could have gotten to those middle school races before it was dark out. And we can't have kids out there running when it's dark. It's a little scary out there. And then, like you said, it rained the entire day on and off and rained again when we would have been having the meet, which we run in the rain. That's not the issue. The issue comes down to we're hosting the state meet, and we wanted our course to be in the best condition as possible. And also, we want to respect Ben and Broadland Creek Golf Course for allowing us to run on their course, because there are a lot of golf places, courses across the state that don't allow cross-country meets to happen. So we want to respect Ben. We want to respect the city of Huron and have the best possible state meet today.
And I mentioned ESD was 2 weeks ago in Mitchell, and talk about that a bit. You felt some kids did run a little better. You still think this team, and really both boys and the girls, everybody's almost like they're holding back a bit. You thought you saw a little bit of improvement on that in Mitchell.
Yeah, at ESD, I was really proud of them. We had, you know, three out of our four girls ran season best. So that was very promising. I truly believe they can go faster. So hoping today is the day for that. And then on our boys' side, Max Radke and Sebastian Olivo, they both ran PRs. Tegan Lean is feeling better with his hip. He ran a season best by about a minute. And Emerson Sarvis, he ran about where he has been running. So overall, ESD, it was super windy, but it was a flat, fast course, and our kids took advantage of that. But like you said, I truly believe that they have more in them, and today's the day to go out and showcase that.
Well, just run down the lineups, who we're going to have running today, girls then boys.
On the girls' side, I only have four. We were unable to fill a girls' team. The eighth grade girl, Harper Spilby, that I was hoping to run up and complete a team, she was injured right before ESD and so was unable to run. And so we have Josie Bleeker, our senior, who is leading us right now. Lily Meyer and Nora Pester are both juniors. And Lily Swanson is our sophomore. So those will be the four girls that I'm running today. And on the boys' side, Tegan Lean is going in, like I said, running well. He's not having that hip pain anymore, which is really nice. James Weir, he didn't have a great ESD, so I'm hoping he can turn that around today on a course that he's familiar with here. Max Radke and Sebastian Olivo, both coming off those PR races a couple weeks ago at ESD. And then I brought up Charleston Walker, who is an eighth grader. He ran a 21-minute 5K earlier in the season, in Madison, the first meet of the season. And since then, he has either ran JV or middle school for me, but he comes in with our fifth fastest 5K time. And then Emerson Sarvis, our junior, will round out our boys team.
And as I said, now you really haven't competed in 2 weeks with the Lecker cancellation last week. So, but this is a time of year too where I as I remember, at least in the past, you have kind of slowed down, maybe simplified some of the workouts here because kids have been running here for a couple of months at least.
Yeah, and some of these kids, they've been putting in the work over the summer too, which in cross country you need to. You can't just rely on the 11 weeks during the season to get to where you need to be. So yeah, this last week we have been working on some speed and we cut down the miles a little bit, but we just want the kids to have fresh legs today. I mean, whenever we did our speed workouts, I go, well, you should be tired, but you shouldn't be exhausted and spent after you're done running these. And I think the kids held true to that. They put in hard work and hopefully that pays off for him today.
You know, talking with Angie Thomas, head cross-country coach here on Tigers. Huron is hosting state cross-country out of Broadland Creek today. And we'll just talk about that. Such a huge undertaking for the school district. This may be the biggest and most difficult to try and put off. I think most every district employee, if they're available, they're on call to be working in some capacity out there today. But, you know, it's not our first meet either. We've hosted state many times in the past. I know you've always said coaches really like running our course at Broadland Creek. So, you know, a lot of people in town, parking's at a premium out there, but as always, we always put on a good meet.
Yeah, I really believe we do. And this is Scott's first big meet as our AD. And, you know, just with him hosting, you know, he's had the Clyde Cotton invite the past couple years. And, you know, granted, there's only 20-some teams at that, but still, a lot of teams come into it, and it gives them a feel for how things are going to be. He traveled out to Rapid City last year to watch the state meet out there and just take things in and observe and see how things needed to be. And so, I mean, he's put in a lot of time. Our staff, I mean, our district, like you said, you know, it comes across when people try to get out of this meet. There are a lot of people that don't want to be out here today on a Saturday, but I don't want to take away from all the people that get this assignment and they show up and they're great. I mean, they're great people to work out there. I believe we have a wonderful school district and, you know, hats off to everyone that puts in time for this meet. But, you know, it comes down to Scott DeBoer and he has been doing a fantastic job, and Lord knows I couldn't just focus on coaching if he didn't do all the things that he did behind the scenes. So, yeah, it's definitely a team effort. There's no doubt about it.
And wrap it up with this, back to your Huron Tigers again, as we mentioned right at the top, you feel, you know, this squad, they just got to find that extra gear, and you think every one of them has got them in there here. Well, this is the last meet of the season. It's time to unveil that extra gear.
Yeah, and as a coach, it's, you know, you want to get them pumped up and excited, and yeah, this is the last meet. Get out there and go for it. However, on the other end of that, if they blow out of there too fast, they're going to end up dying and not have anything left at all. So it's one of those tricky fine lines like we've had all season where I've told them, like, throughout the season is your time to test yourself. Like, you're going to figure out how fast your pace should be. And we do all these timed workouts and interval training. And there's a reason we do those, to get your body trained on how fast you need to go. So even, you know, this was the biggest meet of the season. This is what we've trained for. You still, as a coach, you can't get them too pumped up, because I don't need them going out there leading a race when, you know, you got a couple of Harrisburg girls that run under 17 minutes for their 5K. I really don't think my girls are at that level. So I don't want them out there leading the race right away, because I have them so pumped up and ready to go that now they die in the middle of the race. So it's definitely one of those things where they have to trust what they've been doing. They have to trust the coaching and just believe in themselves. And at the middle of the race, when no one is there telling them they need to go, that's when they need to tell themselves, I need to go and I need to finish this.
Angie Thomas, head coach for Huron Tiger Cross Country. State Cross Country today out at Broadland Creek. It starts at 12 noon. Boys runs are first. Class A boys at noon, double A at 12:30, Class B at 1. Then Class A girls 1:30, Double A girls 2, and Class B girls at 2:30, all out at Broadland Creek. Here on Tiger Football next as we wrap up Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, and overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
Dakota Sports.
Wrapping things up here on Dakota Sports Saturday, we talk with Drew Strand, head coach here on Tiger Football. The Tigers wrapped up the regular season Thursday, and their winning streak snapped. A tough loss, 22-14 over in Brookings. Had a lot of chances in that game, and Drew will just go to that. You know, give Brookings credit. They had a pretty good game plan against us, but on the other hand, three turnovers, a bad snap when we're at the two-yard line, just little things like that that really we hadn't been doing here the last 6 weeks. You know, that kind of came back to bite us.
Yep, I mean, kind of goes back, you know, kind of reminds you of week one with all our turnovers and penalties in key situations against Yankton, and then just kind of popped out a little bit against Brookings. I thought, you know, when we started the game, you know, they definitely out-physicaled us, and, you know, we can't have that happen. We got to find guys that are ready to hit and step up and just, you know, kind of fight for everything that they've earned and get, and, you know, we got to find a way going forward to do that.
You know, and they came out in that, I just keep calling it the rugby formation. It reminded me what Sturgis does, but it's probably a cross between Sturgis and what the Philadelphia Eagles do. They got a D1 recruit there in Bergen Tetzloff, and basically he just kind of reads it. You know, they never had big runs. I thought we had a good game plan against it, but yet that's so much beef, it's just hard to keep it from going forward.
Yep, I mean, they wore and tore at us, you know, in that formation and kept going. I thought our guys did a great job of just sticking with it and fighting through that stuff. But, you know, those are the situations where we got to find a way to, you know, hold them or get them back, and we can't have costly penalties to give up first downs so they can get back in that. And offensively, we got to score more points, and then they're not able to get into that situation because they got to find ways to score as well. So, you know, just kind of put ourselves in the wrong situations with all the turnovers.
You know, and that's the thing. I guess I wasn't really expecting that, and they came right out with it. But I guess that's kind of what Brookings likes to do. They run that formation a lot.
Yep. I mean, we've seen it a lot on film from previous weeks, you know, and if you're looking at a team kind of scouting against Huron, you know, we're smaller on the defensive side, and so, you know, we got to make adjustments on getting our big guys in, and I thought the guys we put in did a good job, and so definitely that's, we're going to see it again, you know, but we just got to continue to do what we do and fight our tails off and just keep going for it.
On the other hand, just mistakes were mistakes, both offense and defense. Their first long touchdown run had a couple guys went the wrong way, basically. We had the three turnovers I mentioned, the snap in, at the 2-yard line. And so the good news on that is it's fixable. The bad news is it kind of they all kind of festered at the same time.
Yep, I mean, all fixable things, you know, ball security things on offense and being able to, you know, help our receivers and quarterback out by throwing in some different passing concepts. You know, I know we like to throw the deep ball because of the size that we have at receivers, but, you know, when they're dropping eight and they're bracketing those guys, it's kind of tough to get there, so we just got to draw up a better game plan on passing concepts moving forward and can't have all those turnovers, you know. A lot of the credit falls back on me, you know, and the situational awareness of, you know, some of the plays we called for him on offense. And just myself, I got to do a better job and the coaching staff of just understanding the situations and, you know, what we're good at and being able to, you know, give the ball to Landon a few more times. I know he had 14 rushes and, you know, he's one of the best running backs in the state. And from the coaching staff on my end, we got to be able to use that and use that as a weapon in situations, you know, where I thought we kind of fumbled it a little bit, you know, on the play calling side of it. And so I just got to do a better job.
And not only that, too, I felt Brookings was really concentrating on Landon, too. And while that did open things up for Anderson Porish, he was being aggressive, I thought, in a lot of his reads when he was running the ball. He ended up with a 100-yard rushing game. So, you know, that's kind of the thing. The team's got to realize, you know, it's not only Landon that can run the ball.
Yep. I mean, you know, he definitely adds in that factor of a running quarterback. And so we got to be able to utilize that moving forward and just keep on going from there and get our run game, you know, cleaned up. You know, I know some of our guys stepped the wrong way or thought, you know, they were doing this, and they gave us a little bit different kind of looks, you know, not necessarily the number of guys that they put in the box, but just how they aligned up, and that's where we got to get better at seeing the picture and how the picture moves once the ball's snapped and being able to find that right guy that we're supposed to go block and create those explosive plays, you know, more often.
You know, and we're probably talking a little bit too much about mistakes, you know, and what happened. But bottom line is we had ourselves a chance. We did get a throw in the end zone, which would have potentially given us an opportunity to tie on the last play of the game. So, you know, we had, what, 2 minutes or whatever to get down the field. We got down there, just needed that one extra play.
Yep. I mean, I give our kids a lot of credit on that. And, you know, no matter the situation or what happened throughout the game, they were still in the game. You know, they gave themselves opportunities, you know, to put the ball in the end zone and having that chance at the end, having a chance, you know, they're only up by eight and having that chance and just kind of a missed opportunity for us by dropping that. But, you know, it's not that one play or that one thing that cost us, but really proud of the kids on how they ended and kept fighting and trying to claw back no matter what the situation or adversity was that came through. And so hopefully we just hold on to that moving forward and remember those feelings so that way, you know, we can try and refrain from feeling those feelings again moving forward in the new season of playoffs.
And so here we go to the second season. We did drop to number two in the seedings after the loss on a Thursday, but it sounds like our matchup was going to be Brookings, irregardless of the score from Thursday night. It was going to be 1-8 here on Brookings or 2-7 Brookings here on Brookings, which what it is, and. I guess we did this 2 years ago. We played Yankton back-to-back at the end of the season. I know back in the 90s we played Mitchell back-to-back when Coach Thielen was here. So while it's not unusual, it is, you know, where, you know, what do you think you can actually change in 7 days?
Yeah, I mean, you try to do the things you do, see what you missed, you know, from the previous game or what we didn't call or things that we didn't do, you know, that we thought we could have more success at, and just kind of throw those in and review them and, you know, just try to get our guys to understand that they're right there and they're in the game, and so we just got to find ways to finish it. And, you know, I think our guys are smart enough to know and understand what we're trying to do moving forward. And, you know, it's good that it's a refresher, you know, and it's good to have that happen outside of the playoffs rather than in the playoffs and those types of situations, just because, you know, realistically now we've been in every situation and we came down to a close one and we lost a close one, you know, and that's kind of been our thing all season, where we've kind of been making it work out for us all season, where we come out ahead. And so, you know, just kind of mentally shore up the things and just get better physically and mentally and just go into it 100%.
And, well, we've talked all year how AA is wide open, and, well, the eight-team field pretty much reflects that. It isn't often that I would venture a guess it's never happened where all eight teams have a winning record. Well, when five of them have the same record at 5-4 and had a three-way tiebreaker to decide, that just shows the level field AA has been this year.
Yep, I mean, AA this year has been pretty much level all the way across the board. There's a few more consistent teams than other teams, but, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, what consistency that is, as long as you show up on your game day and you outplay that other team, and then you're the next one to move on now. And hopefully, you know, our kids can understand that and learn from it, and we can self-reflect on the things, you know, and get back to where we used to be and just be that team each week and every week and give it our best shot and see what happens.
You know, and the one thing we did get out of it, we do have a home game. We win, we advance, we get another home game, but obviously we just got to worry about the first one first. And, you know, this is new territory, too. This is only our second home playoff game since I took over in 02, or third one, excuse me.
Yep, I mean, you know, having a home game will be huge. You know, we've had a lot of community support this season, and having those guys show up for a home game, you know, and potentially two, but just got to worry about that first one, and that home crowd always kind of ignites our guys and gets them going. And so hopefully we'll play with a little more mojo, you know, in our tank and kind of get after it a little more, and you see a few more attitudes come out and guys, you know, hitting guys and not, you know, kind of catching everything and just getting after it. And I hope the community will be there to help us do that, and I think they will be like they have all season long.
And we'll wrap it up with this, and let's just go big picture. I know I told you before we started here last night. Friday night was the first Friday I've been home since August 15th, so we've been doing this for quite a while now. And I think back on August 15th, if I would have told you here on October 25th, we have a 7-2 record, 2 seed, and playing at home, you would have taken it.
Yep. I mean, right now these guys have done a fantastic job all season long of, you know, just instilling the culture that we want to build and playing with the heart, you know, and the attitude and all the things that I've been trying to teach here, you know, through my head coaching. And these guys have really done a fantastic job of leading that by example and really getting after it. And they deserve all the credit. You know, they've went out in the games, they've put in the preparation, and they've succeeded. And 7-2 record is what they deserve, you know, and that's what we've earned. And so now we got to just go out there and continue to grind for more that these kids can earn as they work for it.
Drew Strand, head coach here on Tiger Football. Tigers finish out the regular season 7-2. They are the number 2 seed in 11AA and at home with a rematch with Brookings this coming Thursday, 7 o'clock with the kickoff, 6:30 with the pregame. Again, as a reminder, no passes accepted since it is a postseason event, but the first 100 Huron students, grades 6 through 12, will get in free thanks to a donation made yesterday, anonymous, but hey, that's great. Get some kid and get many people in there as possible to Tiger Stadium on Thursday night. Up next, Territorial Rodeo Update, brought to you by Premier Equipment of Huron. Thanks for listening to Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.